You know I'm still, still, still pressing my battles. Oh, I'm bound, determined to run on all the way. And it won't be very long till I press my way home. I gotta press on, yeah, I'll press on all the way. You see, I've learned a lesson from a little lily. It was struggling way deep, the miry clay. Spun by sheer desire, that lily stand up higher. Makes me press on, makes me press on all the way. Yeah, I said I'm still, still, still pressing my battles. Oh, I'm bound, determined to run on all the way. And it won't be very long till I press my way home. I gotta press on, yeah, I'll press on all the way. You see, if God provided for a tiny sparrow, surely he will meet my every need. How can I give up when he fills my empty cup? Makes me press on, makes me press on all the way. Yeah, I said I'm still, still, still pressing my battles. Oh, I'm bound, determined to run on all the way. And it won't be very long till I press my way home. I gotta press on, yeah, I'll press on all the way. You see, the race has not been given to the swift one, but it's to him that will endure till the end. When I press my final round, then I receive my heavenly crown. Makes me press on, makes me press on all the way. Yeah, I said I'm still, still, still pressing my battles. Oh, I'm bound, determined to run on all the way. And it won't be very long till I press my way home. I gotta press on, yeah, I'll press on all the way. Yeah, I said I'm still, still, still pressing my battles. Oh, I'm bound, determined to run on all the way. And it won't be very long till I press my way home. I gotta press on, yeah, I'll press on all the way.
Let's all stand. We're changing over the service. Amen.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. To see you.
your power and love and sing. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. You are holy, holy, holy.
Oh, yes,
holy, holy, holy. I want to see you.
Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. Good to be in the house of the Lord. I trust that you're happy to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. You made it out, and you overcame. Praise God. Amen. Just continue to remember all those that are out, Brother Wade traveling, and Sister June, and Sister Anna, and all of them. Just remember all of them in your prayers. I would also ask that you all remember a family member of mine in Colombia who lost her 25-year-old son this past week. He wasn't living a good life. He lived out in the streets, and but losing any son, no matter what condition he's in, is tough, especially that young of an age. He was into drugs, and so he just got to the hospital, and they said that he died of natural causes. Not sure. But she can't get the details of his death and what happened because she needs to turn in certain papers and paperwork. Let me try again. Certain paperwork in and things like that. So y'all just remember her in your prayers. Her name is Cecilia. So just remember her in your prayers. We're trying to, usually the brothers in the back are the ones who scroll all the notes up. And so we're trying to do what Brother Wade does. He uses it here with a laptop, and I'm doing it here with a phone. But we're having some issues here. If not, Brother, maybe just. Okay. All right. Well, while he's getting that, let's just go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we just thank you once again for the opportunity to serve you, Lord, in this day and hour that we're living in, Father. We realize, Lord God Almighty, that it is a dark hour, Lord. Father God, probably one of the darkest times, Lord, that has ever been. But Lord Jesus, you still have a people here on this earth, Heavenly Father, that is to reflect your word, Lord Jesus. No matter how dark, Father, the situations get, no matter how dark the world gets, Father God, we are living in a Sodom condition, Lord Jesus. But Heavenly Father, your people, Lord God, your people, Father, are feasting on your word, Lord Jesus. Heavenly Father, Lord God, we are like the children of Israel, Father. We might be in Egypt, but Lord, there was light in Goshen, Lord God. And so we just thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have given us that light that we can rejoice in this hour. Lord, I pray that you'd bless and be with those that are out, Lord God. I ask that you just watch over them, keep them, Lord, and be with every need that was mentioned here, Heavenly Father. You just be with my aunt there in Colombia, Lord, and the passing away of her son. And I ask that you just give them strength, give them comfort, Lord, during this time. And Lord God, you just be with them, Lord. We just commit ourselves now into your hands, Father. Help us to receive from your word, Lord. Father God, if you don't reveal yourself to us, Lord Jesus, then where will we be, Heavenly Father? We have not the capability to understand your word, but Father, by your Holy Spirit, we can understand all things because you promised it, Lord, that you would lead us and guide us unto all truth, Lord. And we just commit this time into your hands now in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right, well, then we'll put it up. Good thing I sent it to them in email. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. All right, well, then we'll use this one right here then. Amen. I hate to keep you all up. Brother Anderson, that do you guys think that it might be working because I have it on airplane mode? I just, because it worked last time. All right. Well, let's just go to the Word. And turn with me to Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2. And let's start at verse 1. Revelation 2:1 says, "Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles, and are not, and hast found them liars. Has borne and has patience, and for my name's sake has labored, and has not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love." Now, you remember, this is the words, this is Jesus speaking. It wasn't Paul, and it wasn't one of the apostles, and it wasn't anybody, Barnabas or anybody. This was Jesus speaking to the church.
Amen.
Amen. "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent."
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus. You may be seated this evening. Amen. Amen. I want you all to just ask yourself a question, as I put it, and you might have seen right here in the title, but just wanted to just maybe do a little Sunday school lesson this evening. But just think about, and you know, many times when we preach as ministers, we preach things, and sometimes we preach things from our heart, mainly things that we are experiencing. Because what happens is that as you're studying the Word of God and you're looking, and then you want to look into yourself. And really express yourself and what's happening in your life, you see? Because sometimes, you know, we're preaching on someone at the church, or we're preaching, you know, that's probably the wrong way to go by. But if I look at myself first and realize where I'm wrong, where I should correct myself, or where am I falling, amen, then you can maybe help the people more in that way, you see? So, it's a question that we should all, including me, you know, we need to ask ourselves, do we really love the Word of God the way we should? And I just want to title that tonight. And I want you to make it personal and ask that question yourself. Do you really love the Word of God the way you should? Amen. Because if you love the Word of God the way you should, it would reflect in many different areas in your life. Because it all stems from the Word. The way we live, the way we behave, the way we act ourselves, it all stems from that. And so many times, you know, when we don't do or we do, it reflects back on the way we look at the Word of God. How important is the Word of God to you, or how not important is the Word of God to you? You see what I'm saying? So in looking at this here, not Paul, but Jesus was here at the first church age in Ephesus. Just in the first church age, they had already left their first love. They were probably got in on fire for God. They saw the Word for their day, and they were on fire. But it wasn't a span of about 10 to 30 years, according to history, that after Paul had visited them, that they started slowly waning. They started slowly drifting and losing their first love. And some of us, amen, after a week that you've had a good service, or you've had a revival, or you had something a week or just a few days later, you're waning. And it shouldn't be like that, saints. Amen. It shouldn't be like that, because Jesus was telling them, hey, listen, go back to your first love. And if you want to find me where you left me, you'll just find me right there, wherever you left me. That's where I'll be waiting for you. Amen. And we realize that it's not Jesus leaving us. It's us leaving him. Because Jesus says here, amen, you left your first love. Now that denotes, amen, that love that he's talking about here denotes, it's the word agape. Amen. And so if it's the word agape, it means that it's a person that they left,
right,
which was Jesus that they left. And what is Jesus? The word. So they didn't leave Paul. They didn't leave the disciples. They didn't leave anybody else. What they left was the word. And it wasn't all, just at one moment. It was a slow transition. Well, maybe I just won't go to church today. Oh, maybe. Oh, it's Wednesday. I just won't go. Oh, it's raining outside. I won't go. Or maybe I just won't pray tonight. You know, I'm just so tired, you know. Yeah. Or maybe I'll just do just 2-3 minutes. You see, it was just a slow transition,
right,
until finally Jesus had to tell him, listen, you've gone too far.
Right.
You've left your first love.
Right.
Amen. Praise God. So we see that in verse 4. And in verse 5, Jesus tells them the following. He tells them to remember. This is their solution. To remember the place that they were at before they fell. Because look what he says. He says, remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works. Amen? So first thing that they had to do was repent for ever getting in that condition. Right?
Amen.
And finally, well, first of all, it says Jesus tells them to remember the place that they were at before they fell, then repent for ever getting in that condition, and finally go back and start over.
Yeah. Right.
Aren't you glad that God allows us to start over?
Amen.
That is the grace of God.
Yeah,
you know, nowadays, young people and kids, you know, when they play video games and they're so accustomed to, hey, we can start all over as many times as you want to and just respawn and do all that kind of stuff, you know, and just restart all over. And there's just no endless limits, you know.
Yeah.
But that's how God is for us. But at some point in time, you're going to make his patience won't always, you know, at some point in time, you're going to just completely, there's no way of coming back. That happened to a woman during Brother Branham's time.
Yeah.
There was just no way for her to come back.
Right.
She completely blasphemed. And she said that I could just see my mom's soul frying as in a frying pan in hell. And it didn't even bother her.
Right.
I hope that we never get to a condition like that.
Yeah.
But you see, God is a God of many chances. But he's not a God of eternal chances.
Right. Right.
Amen. The world would teach you that it's okay. You can start over anytime and you have unlimited lives. But it ain't like that with God. It ain't like that with God. So there's many lives, but not unlimited lives. All right. So if you read it here in verse 5, this is what it says in basic English. It says, so keep in mind where you were at first. And be changed in heart. And do the first works. Or I will come to you and will take away your light from its place. If your hearts are not changed. Amen. So it was very important. Amen. That God was giving them a chance to repent. To do their works first works over. You remember when you first come to the Lord and the joy that you felt. And the satisfaction that you got from the word of God I remember when I was 12 years old and I first accepted salvation in my life and I came to the Lord, you couldn't see me putting the word down hardly. I was always listening to ministers, preachers, listening to I didn't know the message back then, but I was listening to tapes because that was back in 1992. But it was other preachers, you know, at the Baptist church where I was listening. And I was 12 years old, you know, sitting there taking notes on what they were preaching and teaching. It was very important to me. My prayer life was just, I was on fire for God.
Amen.
How many remember that?
Amen.
But how many remember that it knows that it should be the same way?
That's right. Amen.
Even now.
Yeah.
You see? But sometimes, amen, something happens along the way that you think you know too much, or you think, well, it's all right. I don't need to do all that anymore. Yeah, I could take a little break. You know, I could take, you know what? When we do that, that's when we start fading from our first love. We start fading from our first love. So you know where maybe you might be failing, amen. As the question is asked, as do you really love the Word of God the way you should? Amen. Do you love the Word of God more now than you did this time last year? Amen. Or this time 2 years ago? 3 years ago? Because if you do, it's going to make you change. If you do, you're going to come to church. If you do, you're going to be here, and you're going to be not just for the sake of the preacher that he's going to see you or not see you being at church, but it's because you want to be in fellowship with your believers who are part of that word that you say you love. You see? Amen. So I'm not scolding anybody. I'm just saying that's what the word says. Praise God. Amen. Now, the Ephesian church was characterized by their fervent love that they had for one another. That's the reason why Jesus dealt with them in Revelation with regards to leaving your first love. Because in Ephesians 1:5, if you read there, this is what Paul tells him. He said, "Wherefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints." There were people who loved one another. And when you look at the love there that they had for one another, it was the love agape. Which was the same love that Jesus told them in Revelations that they left. It was the agape love that they loved one another. So if you love the Word of God correctly, amen, you're going to love one another, right? It just makes sense. You're going to love God's people. And you're going to love to be in the house of God. Amen. The love that they had for the brethren stemmed from the love they had for Christ, who is the Word. Amen. And so you see that in Ephesians 6:24, grace. This is when Paul was finishing the letter to the Ephesians. And this is the last verse there. He says, "Grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity." Amen. So it must have been that there was people there that were sincere people. In Ephesians, in Ephesus, they loved Christ. Amen. Because you can't love the people if you don't love God. Amen. You something that you don't like to be around with, or you're not going to love. You're not going to want to be around them. Amen. So they must have really loved Christ in sincerity. But here's the thing: you could be so sincere and your motives right. But if you just fail in one little thing or you say that one thing is not as important as the way you thought it was at one point, amen, that's when you start deviating. Because it's easy. When you do it the first time, oh, well, it was easy. Then you do it the second time, it becomes a little easier. The third time, it's easier and easier and so on until you finally, you're at a point where, wait a second, last year I was here and then now I'm all the way over here. And that's, you know, it just, that's what happens. That's what happens. And that's what happened to the church of Ephesus. And so, as I mentioned earlier, you know, it took them about a span of about 10 to 30 years for them to get to that point after Paul had visited them. Their love and zeal for the word started fading. And remember, who is the word? It's Jesus. Amen. And I have here in the notes that the way you love and treat your wife is the way you love and treat God. So as I'm looking at this here, I'm thinking, I'm writing these notes down. I'm thinking, how am I treating my wife? Because the way I treat my wife is the way I'm treating God. Right? And now the way you treat and love God and his word is the way that you will treat and love God's people. Amen. If you don't think it's important to come and hear the word of God, then that's how you treat God's people. Yeah. It's not important. I could just treat them any old way. I could just tell them and talk to them in any old way. Joke about them and make fun of them any old way. Because to you, it's not important. The word of God isn't that important. You love and you do the duties of coming to church and you do what you're supposed to do, but it's not insincerity. Because you're not sincere about God's word. You can talk to some people and you start talking to them about the word. They don't reply to you back about the word because they don't know how to. They don't know about the word. That's a clear evidence right there. They're not in the word. You start talking to them about doctrine, they don't know how to respond back to you. Clear evidence that they don't study the word for themselves. Right. They don't read the word. So where are we at? Do you really love the word of God the way you should? Right. Oh, Brother Luis, this ain't the seals. You ain't breaking down that seed. You ain't breaking down. I'm breaking down things we need. Because if you don't know how to love your brother and you don't know how to come to church and do these basic things, you ain't going to love the word of God enough to care about the seals and care about the church ages and care about Daniel 70 weeks. That's just the truth. Ephesians, this is what Brother Branham says here. I'll just let Brother Branham tell you. Because that's just Brother Luis over there talking. No, Brother Branham says it himself. Yeah. He says a few moments in the Church Age book, he says a few moments ago, I mentioned that John understood what it was to love God. That great apostle of love would certainly see it when the church began to lose that first love of God. In 1 John 5:3, he says, "For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments." That's the love of God. Where are his commandments? In his word. So, do you really love the word? Or do you only love it on Wednesdays and Sundays? Do you have personal time with Jesus in your closet, in your study time? Do you have a place in your home where you study the word? Or just let the preacher do all the studying and I'll just get Wednesday and Sunday? For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. One little deviation from that word was a step away from Christ. Yes. What happened to the Ephesians church? They lost their first love. Amen. So that must have mean that they deviated somewhere or another. Right. Yes. People say they love God. They go to church. They even shout and rejoice and sing and have a great emotional time. Just as we had here a few weeks ago. But when it's all over, watch and see if they are in that word, walking in it, living in it. Where are those people that were here a few weeks ago rejoicing in the word? Where are they at tonight? Excuses. Living it. If they go through all the other and then don't walk in that word, they can say they love God, but their lives tell another story. I wonder if John didn't see a lot of that before he died. People saying they loved God but not obeying his word. Amen. You take that for what it's worth. I'm not just saying it about coming to church, but where are we failing God the most? Is it in prayer? You know? Is it in backbiting your brother and sister? Is it talking about the preacher because he don't tickle our ears the way we like it? Right? Is it what is it in your life that is hindering this church from moving forward with God? Right? Because I believe the church is marching, and I know it's an individual walk, but amen. It's also amen. We can't move forward if we don't love the Word of God the way we should. We're definitely not going to love one another the way we should. Amen. Praise God. So here's the question. How do you love the Word of God? Do you love the Word of God in agape love? Or do you love the Word of God in filial love? How do you love God? Amen. We all know these definitions, but in agape love is that love of God, is the way he loves us, his children. Amen. And it's the love that he gives us. Amen. When we receive the Holy Ghost, love that is affection or benevolence, a love feast. Thayer's definition tells us affection, goodwill, love, benevolence, brotherly love, love feasts. I was looking at what these love feasts are. Amen. A love feast. You know, back in the 70s, they had love feasts. In the 60s, they had love feasts, but in a different way. It definitely wasn't Christian, but they thought it was just the best of the best. Drugs and all kinds of stuff. But love feast, when the Bible talks about love feasts, it says a love feast or agape feast, they would call it as well, was a fellowship meal eaten by Christians in the early church. There is a biblical evidence for the practice of these communal meals, during which Christians gather not just for the sake of sustenance and socializing, but for the sake of fellowship. Amen. So that's the reason why it is called love feast. There's other scriptures where in the New Testament where that two words, love feast, is mentioned. So it's Christians gathering together. Amen. It's not, well, I'll just go into church and just get the word of God and then I'm out. Amen. You need one another. We need each other. Amen. During a time, amen, when things are going to get rougher and squeeze upon us, amen, we're going to need one another more than ever. So let's start practicing now. Amen. Let's start practicing it now. Christians gathering not just for the sake of sustenance and socializing, but for the sake of fellowship. Do you love God that way? Or do you love him in filial love? See, filial love is just only to approve of, to like, to sanction, to treat affectionately or kindly, to welcome, befriend, to show signs of love. Only to show signs of love. Yeah. Pretend maybe like you love somebody. Right. Or pretend like maybe you want to shake someone's hand. But in reality, that's not in your heart. Right. Something is wrong then. Amen. Something is wrong. You don't have God inside of you because you don't love your brother the way you should. Right. Or your sister. Amen? Now, Brother Branham says in the message, the ever-present water from the rock. And I'm not going to hold you all too long tonight. He says here, now in the modern day, it would be, oh, every Wednesday night prayer meeting, every Sunday morning, back to the church. What do we hear? The same thing. The preacher stand up and preach songs. Go on back. See, then you're just going as a line of duty. You're not a worshiper. I didn't say it. He said it. A worshiper goes there to worship, to express himself before his God, to praise God for his goodness. To every word, he hangs on to it. Amen. That's a true worshiper. You know, in the age that we're living in, saints, we have used streaming services and watching church on online as an excuse to not go to church anymore. I'm just going to say, the people that listen to tapes, stay home and listen to tapes, that's an excuse for them to just not even go to church. When Brother Branham flatly condemns that. Yes, right. But you see, here's the problem with streaming services. The problem with that is that rewatching services that you have, you know, that have already passed. If next Sunday someone's listening to what I'm preaching right now and they don't like what I'm saying, they could just go ahead and forward 10 seconds. Forward or rewind 10, 15, 20 seconds. I don't want to hear that part. Okay, I'm going to get this. You can pick and choose what you want to hear. But in live preaching, you got to hear what I'm telling you. Right. The only way you're not going to hear it is if you just walk out these doors, which some people have done, and they don't ever come back. But so that is the problem with people streaming services or rewatching replays. It's all right if you watch a replay of a service, but you've been at church. You see? There's people that do that as substitutions to going to church. And it's wrong.
That's right.
Because you can pick and choose whatever you want to hear. I don't like what he's saying now. So let me just fast forward, scrub, about 30 seconds. All right, he's talking something I like now. Oh, he's getting them seals now. You know what? The seals, amen, will cause you to do this.
Yeah.
Will cause you to come to church.
Right.
The seals is not just head knowledge.
Right.
Amen. The seals will cause you to actually live the seals, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. Just like a love affair. If you was going with a girl because you knew it was a duty, or you going with a boy when you were young, in other words, a young man who was dating or talking to a girl, or a girl talking to a boy, if it's just a duty for them, look what Brother Brown says here. Mama wants me to go with this guy, but I just can't stand him. You don't get nothing of him coming to see you when he comes and visits you. You're not going to get anything because you feel forced to talk to this guy. Like it was a rearranged marriage, you know, like they do some places in India and maybe in the Middle East. See? Or if it's the same way about the girl to the boy or a boy to the girl. You go with her, she bores you. She bores you. Now, think about this in the context of church. This is what Brother Branham is trying to talk about. Mama wants you to go with her because she is the type of girl that mama likes. That's how some kids, amen, they come to church. This is how they feel. And you see it all in their face. You see it. You see it. And you know that there's no relationship there. They feel forced. They feel as if, I gotta come because otherwise I'm gonna be grounded for a week or something. And in reality, that's no relationship there with God.
Right.
There is no relationship there. You go with her. She bores you. Mama wants you to go with her because she is the type of girl that mama likes. See, it bores you. No love affair. But you don't care. You don't want to clean up. You don't want to go see her. And it's why it's a horrible thing. And when he is coming to see you, my, you just wish he would hurry on and go home. So, do you feel that way when you come to church? Now look what Brother Brown continues to say here. That's the same way it is when you. Why does he preach so long? Some people ask. That preacher just preached me too long. Why does he preach so long? What about all this stuff and everything? See, you're not in love. I didn't say it, Brother Brown's saying it. You are not in love. But when you really hang on to every word as the Spirit gave you warning this morning, see, hanging on to every word, that might be what he has been talking to you about. Holding on, it's eternal life. Every word of God, it's a joy to go to church.
Amen.
It's a joy, Brother Branham says, to those who are still hanging on their first love. Their first experience. Well, I'm waiting for Brother so-and-so to come through the church and preach us happy. Amen. You got to be happy all the way.
Yes.
Brother so-and-so ain't going to be here every Sunday.
Right.
What about Jesus Christ being here?
Yes.
He makes me happy.
Yes.
Wherever I go, amen, the joy of the Lord is my strength.
That's right.
Not just when Brother so-and-so comes through.
Amen.
But when God is here, amen, that's what makes me happy.
Yes.
When his people are here and we're worshiping in one accord.
Right.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
That might be what he has been talking to you about. Holding on, it's eternal life. Every word of God. It's a joy to go to church under any circumstance. Whether it's hot, cold, indifferent, whether the people are fussing, growling, whatever they are doing, it's still a joy to hear the word of the Lord.
Amen.
Then you're in love then with Christ. That's and then let's take it back. Remember to the Ephesian church age losing their first love. Then you're in love then with Christ. See, you love to go to church.
Amen.
Well, honey, here it's Sunday morning again. I guess we have to wash up the youngins and get down there. My, it's boresome. See, you're not in love. Brother Branham said it. Is that how you feel about coming to church on Sunday? Is that how you feel about coming to church on a Wednesday? It's a drag. Oh, we just got to do it, you know? But if you are really in love, you just can't wait till Sunday morning comes. You've just got to get down there with them. And we get and to leave the people of God. They don't bore you. Why, they are brothers and sisters. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Hey, it's part of a Christian's, not just a duty, amen, but it's a love affair. Right. It's what he wants to do. It's what she wants to do. Amen. So, in the way that we treat the Word of God, again, the question is, do you really love the Word of God the way you should? Because if you do, it will reflect on these other areas in your life. All right. Now, how important it was for the Lord that even when kings would sit, before there was ever kings set up in Israel, this is what God would make them do before they actually sat there on the throne. All right. Can remember, so I put it in there, we are kings and priests, right? God has made us kings and priests. In Deuteronomy chapter 17, verse 18, it says, and it shall be, talking about the king, and it shall be when he sitteth upon the throne of his kingdom, that he shall write himself a copy of this law in a book, out of that which is before the priests, the Levites. You know, there is scientifically proven that when you take something or you write it or you copy it down or you're writing it yourself, it sticks to you more. It sticks to you more. When you actually literally write it down. Now, they've kind of perverted it nowadays because this is how they want us to write it down nowadays. And this doesn't stick as good. It gets lost eventually. And it's not the same as you actually writing stuff down. Amen. That's why I if I'm taking notes, I usually try to have a little notepad or an actual pen or pencil to take notes with, because it helps you remember things down. Well, God knew that. And so he knew that the king, amen, that he needed to write himself a copy of this law in a book. And watch what verse 19 says. And it shall be with him, and he shall read therein just on Wednesdays and Sundays. Just when he's feeling good. Just when his wife made him, his queen made him his coffee exactly the way he likes it. And he shall read therein all the days of his life. Amen. The king. Are you a king and priest? That he may learn. Watch what happens. That he may learn to fear the Lord his God. To keep all the words of this law and these statutes, to do them. And watch what it continues to say. That his heart be not lifted up above his brethren. In other words, that he doesn't think himself better than his brethren. This is what happens when you read the Word of God and you're in the Word of God. You will not think yourself better than someone else. Amen. You will try to maintain a level with your brother and your sister. Amen. Above his right, and that he turn not aside from the commandment to the right hand or to the left, to the end that he may prolong his days in his kingdom, he and his children in the midst of Israel. So God didn't tell the king, amen, when he became a king, as soon as he sat down on the throne, amen, he was going to put up his feet, amen, and get on his iPad and watch Netflix or do whatever. It's easy street now. I got all my servants. No, he put him to work. And the first thing he needed to do was get in that word and write that word down. Amen. That was what God required. Praise the Lord Jesus. So it's a duty for you and I, saints. Again, it's not just a duty. It should be a desire for us to be in the Word of God. Saints, all the books in this world can burn. Everything in this life can go away. Amen. But if the Word of God, amen, has fully grabbed your life the way it should. Amen. And if it's that entrance into you, the whole world around you can fall. Amen. But that word will always keep you joy with joy. Amen. Everything around you can fall. Problems will occur and all kinds of things. But that word of God will always be in your forefront. Praise God. I want us to look at David and King David. King David. See, King David took it was very important for him. What we just read there in Deuteronomy. Because look what he says in Psalms 1. He says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful." But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he was a king. And he knew what the law said. That's the reason why he said what he penned, what he just penned. Day and night. Amen. That's what kings and priests do. Psalms chapter 19, verse 7-11. This is a good 7-11 right here. 7-Eleven, you at the corner, you get a junk food and makes you fat. This 7-Eleven, right? Amen. It's spiritually. "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple." Speaking about the Word of God. "The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart." You want happiness? You want joys? You feel depressed? Amen. The statutes of the Lord are right. That's the right medicine right there. Amen. "The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether." Every time I read these verses, it takes me back I want to sing them. Because there was a song that I learned back in the early 90s. It was an a cappella group that sang these verses. And every time I read them, I just want to say, "The fear of the Lord is clean." All right, I'll stop. You don't want to hear that. All right. Verse 10. Watch this now. "More to be desired are they than gold." What's more to be desired than gold? The Word of God, right? "Yea, than much fine gold." What's better? You know, in this life, you know, the gold is precious, right? It's beautiful. It's shiny. It's, it's asphalt in heaven. It sure is. But you see, the Word of God is better than fine gold, David says here. "Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb." You know, as I was looking into this and I was reading, not sure how true it is, but I was reading or listening to something, and they said that the way the children used to go back to school and the way they would write, they would pen, they would have these tablets that they would make notes on, and the tablets were made out of wax. And they would have like some sort of writing utensil. But in order for them to be able to write in a smoother way, they would kind of layer the wax a little bit with honey. And so as they were writing inside the tablet, they would write, and then it would kind of have distilled in with a little bit of honey, the pen. And so as they were write, they would kind of just lick, and write and kind of get a little bit of that honey as they were writing. Amen. God says that the Word of God is sweeter than that honey. What was written? Amen. The written word is sweeter than all the honey. What's sweeter than honey? I don't know. Honey is very sweet. You can only just have a little bit, and afterwards, amen, it just don't taste too good if you get too much. Amen. But that's how the Word of God is. It's sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. The fresh honey that's dripping off of the honeycomb, the Word of God is sweeter than that.
Yes.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Moreover, by them, by what? By that word, is thy servant warned. And in keeping of them, there is great reward. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. So it's not just hearing it, amen, but in keeping them, there's a great reward. Praise the Lord. Charles Spurgeon said the following. He said, if God shall give you a promise, you will taste it like a wafer of honey and feed on it. And if he shall give you a precept, you will not stop to look at it and say, Lord, I don't like this as well as the promise. But you will receive that and feed upon that also. Amen. And when the Lord shall be pleased afterwards to give you some revelation with regard to your inward experience or to your fellowship with his dear son, you welcome it with joy because you love any truth and every truth as long as you know it to be the truth of God's own word.
Amen.
Amen. It doesn't matter who's preaching it. It doesn't matter who's behind the pulpit. Amen. You love the truth because the truth is being preached.
Amen.
Amen. It is a blessed sign of grace in the heart when God's words are sweet to us as a whole. It is a blessed sign of grace in the heart when God's words are sweet to us as a whole. When we love the truth of God, not cast into a system or a shape, but as we find in God's word. Amen. Praise God. Now in Psalms 119, David continues the following, and he says this, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Amen. You want to clean your way, young man, young lady? Amen. Get in the word. You want help in your life? Get in the word. You want eternal life? Get in the word. You want healing? Amen. You want positive thoughts? Get in the word. Amen. It all comes and stems from the word. With my whole heart, David says, have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Amen. You see how that's what the Ephesian church did at the beginning. They wandered from the commandments of God. But here David is saying, Lord, don't let me wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. Amen. So when you hear the word of God, it's not just about just listening to it at the moment and forget what you heard. Amen. But keep it and retain as much of it as you can. Amen. And go on. Move forward. So that why? So that you won't sin against God. Blessed art thou, Lord. Teach me thy statutes. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. Amen. So it should be in your lips as well. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. Amen. Praise God.
Amen.
You know, I wonder how we would act, amen, if somebody over here came through here and said, we're paying your house, and you're going to have an extra $100,000 in your bank. And I mean, you knew for a fact that's what was going to happen. Your house is going to be paid for, and you're going to have a nice shiny car parked outside when you leave this building. Mm-hmm. Some of you ain't going to be the way I see some of y'all right now. When you know it's for you.
Yeah.
When you know it's for you. And that's what God, that's what it was promised to you.
Yeah.
Got your name on it.
Amen.
Everything. But David says here that I rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches.
Yeah.
In other words, David had riches. David had wives, and he had things in his life that he could rejoice about.
Yeah.
But he said, the law of the Lord, the word of God, was much better than all that.
Amen.
Amen. I will meditate in thy precepts, verse 15, and what? And have respect unto thy ways.
Yeah.
Respect.
Yeah.
What an important thing in this hour. Amen. Do we respect the word of God the way we should? I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. You know, he says here, I will delight myself in thy statutes. And, you know, in the past month or so, I've been trying to lose some weight. So I've been having to refrain from eating certain things that I like. But I've lost 10 pounds, almost 10 pounds in about 5 weeks. But yesterday we stopped and we went to a Greek restaurant, and we love Greek food. And so I had me some Greek pizza yesterday. And man, I tell you, it's like I'd never had pizza before. And I only ate one slice. I'm trying to stay away from a lot of carbs and stuff. And they brought out a large pizza, too. We asked for a small because it was for Zoe. Zoe wanted a small pepperoni pizza. But the guy said, hey, listen, we'll just make you a large and we'll just charge you for a small. Well, that was even more of a chance. I'm going to have to help her with this. She can't eat that all by herself. Anyways, that pizza was so good. And as I was eating that one slice, you can ask my wife, and I was just delighting myself. It was like it was the first time that I had eaten pizza. I mean, I love pizza. And it was just so good. That cheese was so stringy, and that crust, I mean, everything. I know Bella, she don't like it too much, but I loved it. And you see, but that's what David is talking about, that he delights in the word that way.
Amen.
Oh, man, this is so good. It's like I've never had it before. That's what David is saying.
Amen.
I will delight in my statutes. Or just think about it. He delights in that word like you should delight in whatever your favorite food is.
Yes.
I don't know what your favorite food is. But when you eat it, I'm sure you're not eating it half asleep. And I'm sure you're not eating it bored.
Right.
And I'm sure you're not eating it with not a desire to finish what you just started. Right? You're eating it, amen, to enjoy everything that, and if you know even the ingredients that are in it, that makes it even better. Amen. That's the thing with the word of God. Amen. When you rejoice and you delight in everything, you try to get the most out of as possible.
Yeah, right.
And enjoy that moment in the house of God as much as you can.
That's right. Hey.
Because it's not guaranteed that we will be again here Sunday eating this word of God again.
Come on.
That's
anything
right.
Could happen between now and Sunday. So that's what David is trying to say. I am going to take advantage of this Word of God pizza right now.
Yes.
Amen. I'm going to take advantage of this right now and enjoy it with everything that I've got.
Amen.
That's how we should see the Word of God. Amen.
Amen.
I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. And you know what? I ate that pizza yesterday and I don't forget what it tasted like. And I told my wife when we left that place, I said, you know what? When I finish my weight loss goal, I'm going to go back over there and I'm going to order me a works pizza, not just pepperoni. That was good. All right. Let's finish up. Here are 5 tips to falling in love with God's word starting today.
Amen.
Starting today. 5 ways you can start falling in love. Amen. This is where you take action now. All right. If you feel like you've lost your first love, if you feel like it's a dread to come to church, if you feel like the brethren around you just get on your nerves and the sisters around you just get on your nerves, then this is a way to start. It all starts with the Word of God. Get in the Word and you won't feel like that about your brother. Get in the Word and you won't feel like that about your sister. And you won't feel like that about your preacher.
Amen.
All right. First one. Read your Bible every day. Now, Brother Brown said that. But look what 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study to show thyself approved unto God. Amen. Don't do it for others. Do it unto God. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That's what I was trying to say earlier. You talk to some people and you know they haven't been in the word of God. You can just tell by the way they talk to you or the lack of talking to you about the word of God. They'll talk to you about anything else, but they won't talk to you about the word. Because they don't want to know that they haven't been in the word. But out of the abundance of the heart speaketh the mouth, Jesus said, right?
Amen.
All right, tip number two, meditate on what you have read. Don't just read the word. Don't just read the word and say, I've done my duty. I've read 10 verses for today. No. Now start looking and meditating about what you just read about. Maybe get into it. Maybe start looking at the definition of a certain word that you just read that just kind of caught your attention. Maybe and you will find out that you start doing that and you start going down and next thing you know, it's been 30 minutes. Wow, I've been reading the word of God for 30 minutes. Brother John, when initially you said, I'm only going to do 5-10 minutes. I've been on here 30 minutes studying the word of God. That's how it is. That's how it starts. Amen. Look what Joshua 1:8 says. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein Wednesday and Sunday. Doesn't say that, right? That therein day and night that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. How many times have we read something similar tonight like that? Right? The king was supposed to do that. Remember the king in Deuteronomy? David mentioned it in Psalms. To do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. And then thou shalt have good success. Amen. Tip number three, ask the Holy Spirit to teach you what he wants you to learn. Or in other words, give you revelation. I have the habit of when I read the word of God, I always pray. I say, Lord, reveal to me what I'm about to read. Help me to just grab something from there that I can just go instantly apply into my life. So just pick up the word and just... just randomly and just start reading. Amen. That's good. That's a good start. You picked up the word and started reading. But pray about what you're about to read. And I believe God honors that. Many times that I've done that, God always never fails to show me something. Never, never. Amen. So ask God for revelation. Amen. The Holy Spirit will teach you. Because what did he say? He said he will lead us and guide us unto all truth. Right? All right. John 14:26 says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. That was Jesus speaking. Here's another thing that you can do. You can pray the scriptures. Amen. I'm not into the habit of doing that, but I'd like to start doing that because there's an anointing that comes with that. Praying the scriptures over your family, praying the scriptures over yourself, over situations. Amen. And if you don't know, amen, go back in the Psalms and there's plenty of content there for you to pray about. That you can some way or another apply that content, that word to your situation. Psalms 119:13 says, with my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. So pray the judgments of God or the word of God. Amen. And proclaim it with thy mouth. Amen. There is one place in Psalms 119. Amen. Where he says that I will raise my hands unto thy commandments. I will raise my hands unto thy word. Hence the reason why we raise and say amen to the word of God as it's going forth.
Amen.
And we just don't sit there. But David said to do that.
Amen.
All right. And then tip number five, thank the Lord for his words. Amen. Be always thankful. 2 Peter 1:4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the word through lust. Amen. Thank God for his word. Be thankful always. And how do we thank God for his word? Amen. We express it with our lips, but we also express it with our actions. We obey the word of God. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. And so you could take those five tips with you, and hopefully you can start applying them tonight. When you get home, put them to action. It was only just five. I didn't give you a whole book. It was just five. Now, I want to finish with the example of Mary and Martha. And just how beautiful it was when Jesus came in Lazarus' home. And Mary was there. Martha was there. And Jesus started speaking the word, talking about the word. And Mary wasn't concerned about anything else but to be at the feet of that word. She didn't care about that the dishes needed to be done. She didn't care that it was cold, whether it was cold, hot outside or whatever. Amen. What she cared about was to be at the feet of that word, because she knew that that moment it was going to go away at some point. She was going to take full advantage of that word.
Yes.
Now, Jesus Christ being the word himself. Amen. He is the word. Praise God. He is the physical word was right there, but she was interested in hearing what he had to say. While Martha was over there slaving away and doing everything she needed to do, maybe she was preparing for the church dinner or whatever, you know, that we could get so busy with church things and we forget that Jesus is speaking.
Amen.
You can be so busy with church and you missing out church. That's what Martha was doing. She knew Jesus was there. She knew that she was at her home. She wanted to serve him too. But she was wanting to serve him in a physical way while Mary was trying to serve Jesus in a spiritual way, but saying, I need something for my soul. And I can only receive it from him. So she was attentive. And Martha got onto her. Martha actually got onto Jesus. Martha rebuked Jesus for what Mary was doing and said, why don't you tell her to come in here and help me bake these cookies and whatever? And Mary said, Martha, Martha, you're too worried about Subway. You're too worried about Taco Bell. You're too worried about all that stuff, you know. Why don't you just come down here and worship me?
Amen.
And you're worshiping me by listening to what I have to tell you.
Amen.
Remember, who is the true worshiper? The true worshiper is the one who continues daily in the word.
Yes.
Amen. That is the true worshiper. So I wanted to leave you with that thought. Look at Mary. And Mary did that without the Holy Ghost. What about you and I with the Holy Ghost? What kind of attitude should we have towards the word? It should actually be more sweeter and it should have more effect on us, amen, than ever before. It doesn't matter what happens in our life. The word always goes first. Amen. No, my mom does. No, the word goes first. No, my dad does. No, the word goes first. No, my pastor does. The word always goes first.
Yes.
Amen. And when you do that, God will take care of your pastor. God will take care of your mom. God will take care of your dad. God will take care of everybody, every family member, when you put God first.
Amen.
In your life.
Amen.
Amen. So may God bless you all. Let's stand to our feet. Let's have the musicians come. Do you really love the Word of God the way you should? Are you really in love with Him the way you need to be? We are in the late hour. I preached this sermon to myself before I preached it to you, saints. God help us. God help us. Just because, you know, sometimes, well, that the preacher, you know, he's always in the Word, and he's always, amen. Sometimes we feel like we're not enough in the Word. Amen. Brother Branham, he felt like he was 50-something years old, and he felt like he hadn't done anything for God. How much more us? Look, he had traveled all over the world preaching the gospel. Thousands, maybe millions of people saved under his ministry up to that point. And he felt like he didn't do anything. Amen. So we need to be more sincere with this that we have in this hour. Praise God. What do we have, Brother Boy?
The world will try to satisfy that longing.
You need a prayer. More than welcome to pray with you.
You may search the wide world over, but you will be just as before. You'll never find true satisfaction until you have found the Lord. For only Jesus can satisfy your soul. Only Jesus can satisfy your soul. Change your heart and make you whole. He'll give you peace you never knew, sweet love and joy in heaven too.
Lord, I don't need to know, but you know, Lord. I ask in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the blood that you shed for her, healing on the cross of Calvary, Lord. May you touch her right now, Lord. Make her well, Lord God Almighty.
If you
and Lord,
could
give her the relief that she needs at this very moment, Father. Let her leave here rejoicing, Father, knowing that you fulfill your word, Father,
you
in her life and in her body.
Obtain,
in Jesus Christ's name,
yet
Christ.
You
amen.
Have not
amen.
Christ within.
God bless you.
Your living here would be in vain. There'll come a time. Just cannot help you then. So run to Jesus. Only He can satisfy. Only Jesus can satisfy your soul. Can change your heart and make you whole.
We know that you're more than able to, Father.
He'll give you peace you never knew, sweet love and joy. Jesus can satisfy your soul.
Only the Word of God can satisfy.
And only He can change your heart and make you whole. He'll give you peace you never knew, sweet love and joy. And
love Him. Amen. You know, I know that sometimes, you know, things come up and you just really can't make it to the house of God. You know, I'm not talking about those things. But, you know, I'm just really deliberately just speaking about the people who just deliberately miss church. Because they just really don't want to be here. And then you make some excuse to not be at church where the word of God is being preached. Amen? That's a problem. And that's not a problem with the with the word. It's not a problem with the people. Not a problem with the preacher. It's a spiritual heart problem. Maybe at some point we'll talk about matters of the heart. It's a heart problem that needs to be dealt with. Because a son and daughter of God wants to be where the people of God are. Amen. Wants to be where the word of God is. Oh, but I could press play in my home. But where's the fellowship in that? Because isn't the God's people that have the same Holy Ghost that you have? Amen. Aren't they part of God as well? Praise the Lord. Just as an encouragement and as a challenge to each one of us to be more sincere about this walk in our lives. Amen. Let's just bow our heads. Our Heavenly Father, I thank you once again for the opportunity to have heard your word. We pray, Lord, that you would just help us, Lord, to take these things to heart, Father. And Lord God, not just to lay them aside and, well, it was another Wednesday service and we just move on, Lord. But Father God, let us just meditate in your word. Let us, Heavenly Father, fall in love with you, Lord. Father, and in falling in love with you is falling in love with your word, with your statutes, with your commandments. Oh God, help us in this hour. It goes from the pulpit all the way to the janitor room, Lord. We all need to fall in love with you more. We all need more sincerity in our lives. Grant it, Lord Jesus. Bless us now as we head our different ways, Lord. And we ask that you would just bring us back Sunday, Lord, to receive what you have in store for us, Father. For we ask these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. God bless you. You may be dismissed.